Daf Chaf Gimel in Pesachim. We started the second parak of Pesachim a couple of days ago. In the Daf Yomi and the first mission, the second parak of Pesachim details for us Isser Hana of Chametz. Chametz, as we know, is Asur B'Achila, Asur B'Hana, and Asur B'Bal Yara B'Yimase. There are three separate Yisurim associated with Chametz. One is that we're not allowed to eat Chametz. Two is that we're not allowed to benefit from Chametz. And three is that we're not allowed to be in possession and ownership of chametz. The Mishnah really focuses in on the second Isser of chametz, and that is the Isser of Hana. The Mishnah said back on Chafal from an Aleph, Koshash Shemut Lechel Machel Behem Lechel Ofos Mochel Anachri Umutu Ba'ana. So, before the Zman, it's Mutu Ba'ana for Zmano, but once the Zman is passed, Asur Ba'ana, so chametz becomes Asur Hana. We already saw the Gemara back in the Chafalif speak about what exactly the chiddush of the Mishnah is. The Gemara spoke about how the idea that even at the sixth hour of the day, which means from 11 to 12 on a perfect day, where chametz is asur only midrabbanan, not midaraisa, so still there the Isra Hana now is in effect, even though it's only an Isra Durabbanan, but the Isra Hana is in effect, and the Gemara goes so far as to say that even if a man was a mikash woman with chametz from the sixth hour on, from 11 a.m. and on, where the Ein Choshesh in LeKedushin, there's no concern whatsoever for the Kedushin, as now that Chametz at that point in time becomes Asur Behana. The Gemara on the back end of Chafal of Amud Beis, started a very lengthy discussion in the Gemara, and really the Daf of Chav Beis and the Daf of Chav Gimel all revolve around one singular question. And that is, Mehechi Tasty. How do I know? How do I know that Chametz on Pesach is Asur Behana? There are psukim that speak to the idea that we're not allowed to eat chametz, and there are psukim that speak to the idea that we're not allowed to own chametz. But where exactly is in the Torah does it mention anything about getting benefit from chametz? Where exactly is the Isser Hana? So for this question, there are basically two opinions in the Gemara. There's the opinion of Chizkiah, and there's the opinion of Rabbi Abahu. So essentially now what we're going to embark on, we started already yesterday, we're going to continue today, is a machlokas amarayim. Exactly, where is the source of this Isser Hana for Chametz? Rabbi, start with Chizkiah. Chizkiah's opinion, which we started seeing on Chafaf Amud Beis, says that it is generated from the pasuk of Lo Ye'achel Chametz. The term when describing the Isser of eating Chametz doesn't say Lo Yochel Chametz, but rather it says Lo Ye'achel Chametz. And Chizkiah's understanding of the pasuk is Lo Ye'bo Heter Achila. We're not allowed to have any Heter Achila. As Rashi explains, what essentially that means is that had the Torah said, Lo Yochel Chametz, don't eat Chametz, so then the Isser in the Torah would just simply have been not to eat Chametz. The fact that the Torah says, Lo Ye'achel Chametz, is indicative of the fact that not only does the Torah not want us to eat Chametz, but Ye'achel, have Chametz become the causation of eating. Rashi explains what exactly that means, and that is that if I'd be allowed to get any benefit from chametz whatsoever, the benefit can always translate into eating. For example, let's say I sell chametz. So what happens when I sell chametz? So then that sale of chametz is then going to translate into money, and then money can be used to buy food and to eat food. So in other words, not only can I not eat chametz, but chametz cannot become a source of benefit of which I can then translate into achila, into eating of food. That is the opinion of Chizkiah. It comes out that according to Chizkiah, the Gemara explains, had the Torah only said the word lo yochal or lo sochlu, anything other than the nifal, than the passive term of ye'achel, so then the Torah only would generate in Isra Achila, but not in Isra Hana. Rabbi Abahu disagrees. Rabbi Abahu says, no, just the opposite. Rabbi Abahu says that when the Torah says lo sochlu or lo sochal, any form of eating, so that incorporates in that both the Isra of Achila and the Isra of Hana, meaning according to Rabbi Abahu, the Torah settings is always set to an Isra Achila and an Isra Hana. Isra Achila and Isra Hana are really part of the same general prohibition, and Achila includes both. So any time the Torah says the words lo sochal, lo sochlu, lo yochal, or of course, and if it goes without saying, if the Torah says lo ye'achel, so that means that the Torah is prohibiting both the eating and the benefit. And so essentially what we saw is that we have a basic machlokes between Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu in terms of what the settings of the Torah is. When the Torah says don't eat something, What's included in that Isra of Achila? According to Chizkiah, it's only the Isra of Achila, not Hana. And according to Rabbi Abahu, it's the Isra of Achila and the Isra of Hana. Then over the course of Daf Chav Beis, the Gemara then went through, essentially, every one of the Isuri Achila in the Torah. Not every single one. The Chav Gimel, today's Daf, is going to go through a number of them as well. But primarily, tackled every one of the Isuri Achila, and wonders now, who is that supportive of? Is it supportive of Rabbi Abahu, or is it supportive of Chizkiah? Most of the time, when the Torah asks us ba'achila, it only asks us ba'achila, it does not ask us ba'ana. There are a couple of exceptions when the Torah asks us ba'achila ba'ana, chametz, of course, being one. Shor Niska, which we talked about in yesterday, daf, is another. But essentially, all the times the Torah mentions there's an Isra of Achila, there's just an Isra Achila, which obviously presents a problem for Rabbi Abahu, because Rabbi Abahu is of the opinion that every single time the Torah says that there's an Isra Achila, that includes both Achila and Hana. So the Gemara asked again and again, how is Rabbi Abahu going to understand this Isra Achila, and how is Rabbi Abahu going to understand that Isra Achila? And essentially what the answer the Gemara came up to every time is that this case is different or that case would be different. So for example, we talked about Nevela. The Torah says, don't eat a Nevela. And meanwhile, how is Rabbi Abahu going to understand that? Part of the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that even though you're not allowed to eat Nevela, but you're allowed to benefit from Nevela. The Gemara points out that this works very well according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Sorry, this works out very well for the Shita of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says that when the Torah allows a person to benefit from Nevela, the Torah is essentially allowing all forms of benefit from Nevela, meaning the Torah is not specific in terms of what you could do with the Nevela. You can give it to a guy, you can gift it to a guy, you can give it to a ger, you can gift it to a ger. So in other words, according to Rav Meir, really, there's a general heter hana'a of the Nevela. Whereas according to Rav Yehuda, it's much more limited, and the Gemara notes this. Anyway, so again, just quickly to recap, the basic machlokas between Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu, in terms of what the Torah is setting, when the Torah says that there is an Isser of Achila, is that Achila and Hana, or is it just Achila? That's a machlokas. And then, within that machlokas, how do you understand all the various Isserim in the Torah, all the various Isserim Achila in the Torah? That takes us to where we are right now. We're on the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis, and we are beginning now with the example of Arla. Arla, once a tree is planted in the ground, so for the next 3 years, all fruit that grow on that tree are Asr, Asr be'achila, and Asr be'hana'a. We're not allowed to eat the fruit that grows on the tree, nor are we allowed to get any benefit from the fruit as well. This is the Isr of Arla. The Torah says, V'harei Arla, I'm sorry, let's start with the Gemara, we're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. On Chav Beis Amud Beis, V'arei Arla D'Rachmana Amar. Now, when it comes to Arla, the Torah says, "Arei Lim Lo Yochal," that we're not allowed to eat Arel V'Tanya. And we learned in a Braisa, "Arei Lim Lo Yochal In Li'Ale Esr Achila." Now, from there, I only know that there's an Esr of Achila. Minayin Shelo Yena Mimeno. How do I know that I'm not allowed to benefit from Arla? Shelo Yivtabo. How do I know that I'm not allowed to use Arla as a dye? In other words, take the fruit and convert the fruit into a dye, to dye clothing. How do I know that we're not allowed to use the Arla as fuel in order to make a fire? So the Pasuk says that it is an Arla, and then the Torah goes on to repeat that it's an Arla. Three separate times the Torah describes it as an Arla, and therefore lo ye'achel, we're not allowed to eat it. The Rabbah says kulam, to include all these different scenarios. Adkan divrei habraisa. That is the end of the braisa. Taima, the Gemara now notes the obvious, which is taima the kasav rachman of arla sam arla sar relim. It's only because the Torah repeated the word arla three times that we now know that arla is aser, not only ba'achil, but aser arla is also aser behana and all forms of hana. Halav ha'achi hava mina eser achila mashma eser hana la mashma. But had the Torah not said the word arla three times, it's clear from the braisa that Arla would only have been Asr Ba'achila and not Asr Ba'ana'a, and obviously this presents a significant problem. Because once again, we know that when the Torah says Lo Yochal, so then according to Rabbi Abahu, that includes both an Isra Achila and an Isra Ana'a. Now over here, the problem is even further exacerbated. Because over here, the Torah says not just the word lo yochal, but the Torah says lo ye'achel, that Allah is not allowed to be eaten, which even according to Chizkiya would mean that there's both an Isser Achila and there's an Isser Hana as well. So obviously this presents a significant problem to both Shitas. And why does the Torah then have to repeat the word Allah three times to tell us that there's an Isser Hana? So the Gemara says, La'olam lo ye'achel mashma ben Isser Achila ben Isser Hana. So the Gemara says, really, truth be told, is that if the Torah just said the word Ye'achel, I would have known that there's an Isser Achila and an Isser Hana. V'shani haslam diksiv lachem. And it's different over here because the Torah says the word lachem, and we're going to see time and again that when the Torah says the word lachem, lachem means it's yours, and by the definition of yours means yours, your usage. You're allowed to use it, which means that there is a heter of hana'a. So in other words, when it comes to Arla, the Torah goes out of its way to say the word lachem. Lachem indicates that there's a heter hana'a, and that's why the Torah has to then go out of its way to say the word Arla and repeat the word Arla three times to tell me that there's an Isser hana'a. So hasha diksiv hanach kray lachem lamali. So the Gemara now notes, okay, but now that we have the repetition of the word Arla, which tells us that there is an Isser hana'a when it comes to Arla, so then why does the Torah need to include the word lachem? From the word lachem, we learn that we generate another halach, which is the following: lachem l'rabbos is natul l'rabim. According to the Tanna Kamma, lachem is coming to include a tree that was planted for the public. Rabbi Yehuda Amar lahotzi es natul l'rabim, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says that the word lachem is coming to exclude a plant that's planted for the public. In other words, we're going to have a machlokus between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda. What is the din of a tree that wasn't privately planted, but planted for the purposes of the public? According to the Tanna Kamma, that also has a din arla, which means that for the first 3 years, the fruit are going to be prohibited. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, just the opposite, the fruit of such a tree are not subject to the halachas of arla, and therefore going to be mutter for the subsequent 3 years. The Gemara explains, how do these drushas work? My time at the Tanna Kamma, dechsev unetatem. The Torah, when describing Arla, says unetatem, you're going to plant, and it says it in plural. Le'yachid mashma l'rabim l'mashma. Although it says it in plural, unetatem, the Gemara understanding is you, meaning you individually, but each person individually are going to be planting. So it's speaking specifically to the individual, and it's not speaking to the collective group. And the word lachem, therefore, is coming to include natu l'rabim, meaning even if the individual is not planting the tree, but even if the tree is being planted for public usage, nevertheless, it's still subject to the Yisr of Arla. That is the Tanna Kamma's understanding of the Jerusha, of the Pesukim. Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda will disagree. Unetatem mashma bein l'rabim bein l'yachid. According to Rav Yehuda, unetatem, he fundamentally disagrees with what the word netatem is coming to indicate. He believes that unetatem is speaking both to the individual and to the group. And therefore, v'lachem ben yachid ben rabim, lachem now becomes totally superfluous. And it's basically speaking to the same idea, both to the individual and to the group. So, haviribu acharibu, that now represents a ribui after a ribui, meaning from the word unetatem, we already know that the Isra of Arla applies to the individual and to the group. So, what's the lachem? Lachem is now, he serves as a ribui acharibu, vein ribui acharibu elamai. And we know as a general rule that whenever I have an inclusion followed by an inclusion, so the second inclusion is to be understood in the opposite, meaning it's not an inclusion, but rather it's an exclusion. And therefore what comes out is that Arla derabim, if I have a tree planted for the public, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is not asur b'hana, but rather it's mutar b'hana. And presumably also mutar b'achila as well. In other words, there's simply no din Arla for a tree planted in the Rishos Rabbim. Anyway, quickly, let's summarize. It comes out now that the Gemara just spoke about the example of Arla. The Torah uses the words lo ye'achel, which according to Bein l'Rabbi Abaon and Bein l'Chizkiya would indicate that there's both an Isser Achila and an Isser Hana. The Gemara is only bothered by the fact that the Braisa says, where do we learn that from? We learn it from the word Arla, repeated three times in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, v'arla sem, arla so, are lim. And from there we learn there's an Isser Hana. And why should we learn that from there? Shouldn't we have already generated that halacha from lo ye'achel? So the Gemara goes on to explain it's because of the lachem. Lachem would indicate that it's mutar b'hana, and that's why I need ari lim. Good. So it's only interesting to note, and Tosos wonders about this, we have three words that are expressed in the pasuk. V'arla sem, arla so, ari lim. What do we learn from those three pesukim? We learn out three halachas. One halacha is that Arla is asur b'hana. A second halacha is that I'm not allowed to use Arla as a dye. And the third halacha is that I'm not allowed to use Arla as a fuel. And Tosos asks, I don't understand, once we've already established that Arla cannot be used, you can't get benefit from Arla. So already in that, isn't that already incorporate the idea that now you're allowed to use it as a dye and not allowed to use it as fuel? And why does the Gemara feel the need? Why does the Braisa feel the need that two more times the word Arla stated to generate two new Isurim, Lechora, ostensibly those are already included in the Isur of Hana? If you take a look at the second to last Tosfos on the Amud, where he asked this question, Vim Tomer came in the Nafkalan, the Asur Behana'a, my Isur Chla'asur, Tzviya Vehadlaka. So he asks a pretty, very, very straightforward question. Why do I need more Psukim to Asur, both the dying and the lighting the Arla as the fuel? The Omeri, so he quotes the read, the Sakadacha, the Tzviya Lechashav Hana'a, the Lohave Ela Chazusa Ba'ama. So the Re suggests that really when it comes to dying, dying is not a bona fide hana'a. It's a milder form of a hana'a. And even if I would have established that Arla is asur b'hana'a, but chazusa, but if it's just a change of appearance, maybe that is not going to be such a violation of hana'a. Maybe that would be mutter. Kedamar begozo, he quotes a Gemara b'bakama that speaks to this idea, achmel segufa. V'chein hadlaka, and Tosfos goes on to explain, and even hadlaka, sakadatcha mina, I would have thought to sharya, that lighting, using Arla as a fuel, kem davederach biuro, meaning that I'm currently destroying the Arla by burning it. And now the thought would be, well, maybe, look, I'm in the process of destroying it. I'm anyway getting rid of it. So while I am destroying it concurrent with my destruction of the Arla, so maybe I can get benefit from it at the same time. And even though I know there's an Isser Hana, but maybe there's an Isser Hana when I'm not destroying the Arla, but I might have thought that there is no Isser Hana while I'm destroying the Arla. So that's why I have the Psukim telling me that both Tzviya and Halakha are both going to be Asr in conjunction with the Isser of Hana. An interesting Tosus describing why I needed all three drushas. In the meantime, we're going on to the Gemara, we're on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're moving ahead to Truma. Now, Truma, when the farmer brings all his produce into his house and they roll Pnei Abayis, so we know the halacha is that he has to take off the first 2% and be mafresh that as Truma. Truma is then given to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim are afforded the opportunity to eat the Truma. Truma has Kedusha, and a non-Kohen cannot eat Truma. The punishment for a non-Kohen to eat Truma is Misa B'dei Shemayim. It's an extraordinarily serious offense. If he does so B'shogeg, a non-Kohen eats Truma B'shogeg, he has to make reimbursement, plus he has to add Chomesh. Okay, so anyway, so we know that Truma is Aser Ba'achila to a non-Kohen. His Zar is Aser B'Truma. And the Vahari Truma, Derachmana Amar V'chozar Lo Yochal Kodesh, the Torah in describing Truma says that a Zari non-Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma, Utanar Marvelin Azirian Elisrael B'Truma. And meanwhile, we know the Mishnah Erevin, which describes how I make my Erev Tchum, by placing food and putting it within reach, meaning that it's within 2,000 amas of either where I am or from the city limits. And from that, now I'm making a new makam shvisa, a new point of center. And from there, from that new point of center, I can walk 2,000 amas. And the way that we make a makam shvisa is by putting two meals worth of food in that spot. We spent three prakim in Masechta Erevin discussing this in detail. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says that for a Nazir, he can make his Erev Tchum with wine. And with Yisrael, he can make his Erev Tchum with Truma. And so what is the Mishnah essentially telling us? That it's Mutar Bahana. You can benefit from Truma, even though you're not allowed to eat the Truma, but nevertheless, you're allowed to get benefit from the Truma. And that obviously poses a very significant issue. Because according to Rabbi Abba, when the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat Truma, included in the Isser of Achila is also going to be the Isser of Hana as well. So how is Rabbi Abba going to understand the Mishnah Erevin when the Mishnah Erevin says, I could use Truma as an Erev? Now there is an interesting Tosfos. Tosfos over here points out, it's the second Tosfos from the top of the Amud. Tosfos points out that in the context of Erev, maybe you can make the following argument. That there is one opinion in the Gemara Erevin, and we subscribe to this position with Lahalacha, which is that one can only make an Erev Tchum only Le Mitzvah. Right? The Mishnahs over there describe how if a person wants to be, if he wants to hear Shir from his Rebbe, or if he wants to be Mesameh Chasan, or if he wants to be Menachem Avel, and he needs to make an Erev in order to get to a particular destination, so then and only then he's allowed to make an Erev Tchum. But if it's Rishus, if it's for no mitzvah purpose, but just for simple volitional purposes, meaning he wants to go there simply because he wants to go there, so then he can't make an Erev Tchum. So in other words, according to one opinion in the Gemara and Erevin, a person can only make an Erev Tchum only if it's Lemitzvah. So then it comes out then that really the reason why he's setting up a tchum, according to that opinion, is only for the purpose of mitzvah. We know we have a general rule, mitzvah salav lahenos nitnu, that there is no hana that comes from doing a mitzvah. There's no physical benefit that comes from doing a mitzvah. The spiritual benefit of doing a mitzvah is evident, meaning that's why we do mitzvahs, because of the spiritual benefit. But there is no physical benefit to doing a mitzvah. So then, even if I'm using isuri hana to do the mitzvah of tchum, but I'm doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah, and therefore should not be a violation of Isuri Na, as we know the rule is mitzvah slav lahenos nitnu. And what Tosafot suggests is that perhaps our discussion over here in our Gemara is not following that man da amar. You can see Tosafot, second Tosafot on the Amud, who has that very short discussion. Anyway, it comes out now that the question is, how is Rabbi Abba going to understand the Mishnah in Truma, where according to Rabbi Abba, the Isur of Truma should be not only Asr Ba'achila, but it should be Asr Ba'ana as well. And meanwhile, we know the halach is Truma is Mutter Behana. So the Gemara answers, Amar Papa, Shani Haslam Damakro, Truma Schem, Shalachem Tehei. So again, when it comes to Truma, the Torah describes Truma as Truma Schem. It's your Truma. Speaking to the Yisrael. Now, of course, the Torah does not mean that it's really the Yisrael's Truma. It really belongs to the Kohen. But what it means by that is that you have bailus, you have ownership over the truma, in the sense that you're allowed to benefit from the truma. So again, it's the idea that we've spoken about in the past, which we've spoken already about in this year, and that is that ownership signifies usage, which signifies you're allowed to get benefit from the truma. So the idach, the Gemara now points out, now if you are shitas chizkiya, where you're of the opinion that the truma is asr ba'achila, but not asr ba'ana. And the only time that something is asr ba'ana is if the Torah says the words ye'achel. But by truma, the Torah does not say the word ye'achel. Says the pasuk as we quoted above is chozar lo yochal kodesh. So that means, according to Chizkiah, I already know that truma is asr ba'achila, but not asr ba'ana. The question over here, detailed question, but just wants to type the loose end. Question over here is, according to Chizkiah, why do I need the truma's chem? According to him, it's unnecessary. I already know that Truma is Mutabana. Ve'idach Trumaschem Dechol Yisrael Kamar. So when the Torah says Trumaschem, it just simply means the Truma of all the Jewish people. So Rashi explains what the Gemara means over here is that Dibra Torah Kolashim Bnei Adam. Not quoting Rashi directly, simply paraphrasing Rashi, but basically that's how the Torah speaks. And nothing too much should be made of the Pasuk. The Pasuk just simply means that the Jewish people, when they separate the Truma, should give it to the Kohen. Now we're on to the next Isser Achila, and that is a Nazir. Is obviously Asr to eat any grape product. And the Torah says, that a Nazir is not allowed to eat anything that comes from the grape. And the Torah says, lo yochal, that one is not allowed to eat it. Actually, the Pasuk says, lo yochel. But anyway, but it doesn't say lo ye'achel. So again, according to Rabbi Abba, this is going to be a problem, because whenever the Torah says lo yochal, it includes both Isser Achila and Isser Ana. Vitznan, and we learned in a Mishnah, again, we go back to that same Mishnah, Erevin, Ma'arvin l'Nazir b'yayin, that we are Ma'ari for the Nazir using wine. And again, the question comes out to the same question. According to Rabbi Abba, shouldn't it be Asr Bahana? And we know based on the Mishnah in Erevin that it's Mutar Bahana. And again, the answer, a very similar answer. When the Torah describes a Nazir, it says Nizro, his Nazirus. Again, speaking about the idea of possession, that he's a Bailim, and a Bailus means that he has usage, and therefore means it's Mutar Bahana, he's allowed to get benefit. So Rav Ashi attempts to give a different explanation in terms of how we know that a Nazir is allowed to get benefit from the Yayin. And any great product. The Torah says, describing the Nazir, Karoshia Gadol Pera Se'ar Rosho. Describing the hair of the Nazir, the Torah describes his hair as being Kadosh, meaning there's sanctity, there's Kedusha to his hair. At the end of his Nazir, what he's going to end up doing with that hair is cutting off the hair, putting it under the pot where the Zroa B'Sheila is being burnt, In the meantime, however, the Torah describes his hair as being kadosh. Gidulo kadosh ve'in davar acher kadosh. So the what Rav Papa suggests is that maybe the Torah over here is telling us that this is specific, meaning the only thing that has kedusha, has elevated sanctity status, is going to be the hair of a Nazir. But anything else of the Nazir, meaning the grapes of the Nazir, do not have kedusha status. It's asr ba'achila, but it doesn't have kedusha status, which means that the Nazir would be allowed to benefit from the grapes. The Gemara does not seem to accept the explanation of Rav Papa, midi ve'ein davar acher ksiv. There's nothing in the pasuk that indicates that this is exclusionary. Meaning usually when we have a miyut, the Torah gives us some key words that describes it as being a miyut, like the word he or the word who. But over here, there's no indication in the pasuk that this is really a miyut. And so therefore, we don't really see from the word kadosh that only the hair of the Nazir is kadosh to the exclusion of everything else. So the Gemara reverts back to the explanation of Marzutra, and that is Nizro, it's his Nizirus, again, speaking to the idea of ownership, which means that he could use it, which means that he's allowed to benefit from it. The Gemara moves on to the next Isra Achila, and that's Chadash. Grains that took root over the course of the year are Chadash, are new grains. Chadash Asr Min HaTorah, and we know that Chadash is prohibited by the Torah. When does Chadash become Mutter? When it becomes Yashan. When it becomes old grains. When does the new become the old? So we know that that is the second day of Pesach. Second day of Pesach, where the Karban Omer is brought. So that Karban Omer serves as a matir that would allow all the new grains to now become old. And now those grains that grew over the course of the previous year now are mutar ba'achil. This is the Isra of Chadash v'tanan. And the Mishnah Menachos tells us, kosher l'shachar t'machal behema, that what I'm allowed to do is I'm allowed to take the unripe grains, cut them, and feed them to the animal. Now, I myself am not allowed to eat it because it's Chadash. But the Mishnah Menachos says they're allowed to feed it to the animal. It is evident from the Mishnah that Chadash is Mutar Dehana. So once again, the question really begs, according to Rabbi Abbo. Rabbi Abbo says that every time the Torah says Lo Sochlu, Lo Socha, it includes both an Isra Achila and an Isra Na. What is Rabbi Abba going to do with the Isra of Chadash, which is clearly Mutar Bahana? Amar Rav Shmaya, Shani Hasam, Damar Kra, Kitzirchem, Kitzirchem Shelachem Yehei. So the Torah says the words Kitzirchem. Once again, it's the same basic idea. It's your Kitzir, it's your harvest. You have ownership, you have bailus, and because you have bailus, so therefore it's Mutar Bahana. The Idach, now again, the question goes back to Chizkiah. Chizkiah doesn't need the Kitzirchem Pasuk because Chizkiah already knows that it's only Asr Ba'achil and not Ba'ana, because Chizkiah is of the opinion that only when it says Ye'achel is there both Isra Achil and Ana. So according to Chizkiah, why do I have the Pasuk Kitzirchem? The Idach Kitzirchem Dechol Yisrael Mashma. And the Gemara gives the answer on behalf of Chizkiah, which we gave previously, which is, and that's how the Torah speaks. The Torah just simply says the word Kitzirchem, not to be made, no drasha should be made of it. Now, when it comes to a sheretz, non-kosher bug, what does the Torah say? Sheketz hu lo ye achel. The Torah says that when it comes to a bug, so sheketz hu is something which is disgusting, lo ye achel, it is not to be eaten. And so this pasuk certainly indicates that there is an isra achila by sheketz, but it also indicates as well that there is an isra achila and an isra hana'ah. And not only that, but this indication would be true for both Rabbi Abba and for Chizkiah, because the Torah's verbiage over here is ye'achel, sheketzu lo ye'achel. Utanana, and meanwhile we have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah in Shviya says, Saide chayav ha'ofetz v'dagnish and izdamnu lahem minim tamayim. Let's say you had a hunter who cast out his nets and he was hunting for kosher food. And what comes up in his net is non-kosher food. So non-kosher animals. Mutar l'machom l'nachrim. The Mishnah Shviya says that he's allowed to sell to a non-Jew. So it's clear from the Mishnah Shviya that non-kosher animals are mutar bahana. They're also b'achila, obviously, but it's mutar bahana. So question begs, according to Rabbi Abba and according to Chizkiah, how can that be? The Torah says ye'achel, which according to both shitas indicates that there's an isra achila and isra na'ah. Once again, it's based on the fact that the Torah, when describing the sheker, says lachem, it's yours. And again, speaking to the idea that it's yours, meaning you have ownership, meaning that you're allowed usages of the sheker. Obviously, you can't eat it. The Torah says lo yachel. But on the other hand, it's mutar bahana based on the pasuk of lachem. So Gemara now is bothered by a very simple question. So now it comes out that we have the word lachem by sheker, which means that I'm allowed to get benefit from it. So if so, so then how do you understand the Mishnah Shviyas? The Mishnah Shviyas says that when you're hunting and you happen upon a non-kosher species, so then you can sell it to a guy. The simple pshat in the Mishnah Shviyas is that intentionally, l'chatchila, one is not allowed to trap non-kosher animals and sell them to a guy, only behizdamnut, only if it just happens to go on your net. It sounds like there's a din lechatchila that one's not allowed to sell non-kosher animals to a non-Jew. The Gemara says, Shani hacha damakra, yiyu behav yasan yihu. So the Gemara says, well, we also have the word sheketz hu lachem. The hu means it is. It is in a state of being. Meaning that the sheketz yiyu behav yasan yihu are in the state of sheketz, which means that one should not lechatchila make a business and profit from the sale of non-kosher animals to a non-Jew. Now the Gemara wonders, according to Chizkiya, meaning what conclusion do we want to arrive at? We wanted to arrive at the conclusion that sheketz is asur b'achila b'motar b'hana. So according to Chizkiya, the Torah could have done that very simply, because according to Chizkiya, the only time that we know there's an asur b'achila and hana is only when the Torah says yei achel. So the Gemara just wonders out loud, according to Chizkiya, why didn't the Torah just simply change the nekudos of the pasuk, and instead of saying yeachal, the Torah could have just simply said yochal. And from the word yochal, we would have known that there's an isser achila, but there's no isser hana. So lo lichsav rachmana lo yeachal v'lo bay lachem. So amalacha Chizkiya. So Chizkiya in his defense says, time of didin ami me'achal. What do you mean? Meaning this is exactly where I get my shita from. Meaning it's exactly because of this sequence of psukim that I know that I'm correct. Meaning I'm of the opinion that the word yeachel speaks to the idea of isra achila and isra hana. How do I know that? I actually know that from sheketz. Because the Torah says yeachel, and then the Torah has to go out of its way to say lachem. Meaning it's from exactly the sequence of psukim that I now know yeachel by itself would have been both an isra achila and an isra hana. And lachem is coming to be malamed that no, that there's only an isser of achila by sheketz, but not an isser hana. But that's the exception. The default position is going to be that yeachel usually speaks to isser achila and isser hana. So in other words, it's not a kasha on Chizkiya, just the opposite. It now becomes the source of his position, the basis of his position. Tosfos asks a very simple question. It comes out from our Gemara that lechatchila, one is not allowed to profit from the sale of non-kosher animals to a non-Jew. So you can take a look at Tosfos, second to last Tosfos on the Amud, where he asks, v'im tomer, im kein susim v'chamorim hechizav ninan. Very straightforward question by Tosfos. So it comes out now that I'm not allowed to sell any non-kosher animal to a non-Jew. And meanwhile, we make a business of selling horses and donkeys to a non-Jew. How does that work? So the Gemara Satosa's answers, V'yeshlamat debemiti da'achila mairi de'dafka. Satosa's suggests that maybe this sister of selling non-kosher to a non-Jew, and lechatchila one shouldn't do that, that's only if the sale of the non-kosher animal was intended for eating. But if the sale of the non-kosher animal was only for working, or for any other purpose other than eating, so then it would be mutter. Tosa says, how do I know that this chiluk is correct? So Tosa's quotes Gemara Yushami. Over Yushami, the Masechet Shvi, so Perek Ches, Parich, Vare Chamor V'Gamal. So the Yushami essentially asks this very question. Donkeys, camels, how do we sell them to non-Jews? Mishani, Lemelachtan Hein Gedelim. No, they're being sold for work. And sale for work is acceptable. It's only sale for eating that poses an issur. So anyway, so Tosfos makes this chiluk between the sale of non-kosher for eating versus the sale of non-kosher for work. Okay, back to the Gemara. Okay, comes out now. Let's quickly summarize where we stand. Again, the entire sugya of these last couple of dapim, including daf chav gimel, is centered around the machlokas between Rabbi Abba and Chizkiah. Rabbi Abba says that when the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something that includes both achila and hana, Chizkiah says no, that the isra achila only is an isra achila, but not an isra hana. If the Torah wanted to communicate that there's an isra hana, so the Torah would have said ye achal. But otherwise, the default is that there's only an isra of achila and not an isra of hana. The Gemara has gone through now a lot of the Isuri Echila of the Torah, pretty much all Isuri Echila of the Torah, and as it comes out, the Gemara really is yet to produce a single nafkamina between Rabbi Abba and Chizkiah, because for every one of these cases, we know they're either Asur B'Achila, they're either Asur B'Hana or they're not Asur B'Hana in each one of these cases. And the Gemara then goes on to explain why, according to Rabbi Abahu, this case is different, why, according to Chizkiah, this case is different. But essentially, right now, although there is a very fundamental machlokus between Rabbi Abahu and Chizkiah, it has not yet seemingly produced a single nafkamina in terms of halacha. The Gemara now continues. Vitanya. Sorry. Back it up. V'harei chametz, the Rachman Amar, lo ye'achel chametz. We have a pasuk that describes chametz, lo ye'achel, which we now know means that there's an isra achila and an isra hana, according to everybody. V'tanyi will enter the b'risa, Rav Yossi Aglilu Amar, tamal atzmacha. You should wonder to yourself, hey, chametz asur b'hanaso, kol shiva. Why should chametz become asur b'hana all 7 days? In other words, Rav Yossi Aglilu is of the opinion that chametz is not asur b'hana. And now, essentially, what the Gemara now is wondering is, how can Rav Yossi Aglili arrive at such a conclusion? What a strange conclusion of Rav Yossi Aglili. In fact, we have now two Amarayim, which we've been discussing for the past number of days, and both are of the opinion that when the Torah says Ye'achel, it includes both an Isra Achila and an Isra Hana. So how does Rav Yossi Aglili, now granted, Rav Yossi Aglili is a Tana, but how does a Tana Rav Yossi Aglili fit in to both of these Shitas of the Amarayim? So Shani Hasan Damakrav Alo Yiralachasa or Shelcha Yehe. So the Gemara says that when it comes to Chametz, the Torah says the word Lecha. And again, the idea is that although it is Asur B'Achila, and although one is not allowed to own it, but the fact that the Torah says the word Lecha, Lecha speaks to ownership, which speaks to usage, which means that you're allowed to get benefit from Chametz. So this is a defense of Rav Yossi Aglili. Rav Yossi Aglili, who takes a very interesting shita, very unique shita, that chametz is mutar b'hana, is basing it on the fact that the pasuk says the words lecha, it is yours. Not the shita mekubal, it's not the accepted shita. The shita that we accept, of course, is that chametz is asur b'hana. But right now, we're just explaining the position of Rav Yosef Glili. Now, vira banan. Now, what do the chachamim do with the pasuk of shalcha? Shalcha taro, aval taro shalachirim. Vishal Gavoa. Well, as we discussed already back in the first parak, the word Shalcha is coming to tell me that your chametz you're not allowed to have in your house, but you're allowed to have the chametz of others in your house. Meaning you can have the chametz of a guy in your house, you can have the chametz of a kaddish in your house. V'idach trei lechatziv. Now, in defense of Rav Yossi Aglili, the Torah says the word lecha two times. Wants to tell me this halacha of lecha taro avatash avrosh alachirim, and another to tell me that chametz is mutar b'hana. V'idach har benachri shekivashtav v'char benachri shelo kivashtav. Now, what the chachamim going to do with the two lechas? They're going to come and tell me that the halacha of chametz owned by a non-Jew in your house would be true both if the non-Jew is under your domain, under your dominion, or whether he's not under your dominion. In either way, the chametz would be fine. It's not your chametz, and therefore you're allowed to have it in your house. V'idach. Now, what about Rav Yossi Aglili? What is he gonna? Doesn't he need both drashas? Tlas lecha ksivi. So it says the word lecha three times. You can take a look at Rashi, second wide line, where Rashi goes through the psukim, where we see that the word lecha is expressed in terms vis-a-vis the Isra of Chametz on three occasions, and because it's mentioned on three occasions, so once will generate the halacha of lecha taro v'al taro shalachirim. A second time is going to repeat the same halacha, but the distinction between whether the goy is under your dominion versus the one the goy is not under your dominion, and the third time to tell me that chametz is mutar b'hana. V'idach, and what is now the chacham going to do with the three mentions of the word lecha? Chabesor v'chabechametz v'tzricha. One pasuk is coming to tell me about seor, the other one's about chametz. Seor, which we're going to speak about in detail later on the Masechta. Seor is basically a sourdough. It's basically quasi-rotted bread that they used back in the good old days in order to start the fermentation process for new dough, for fresh dough. Seor the Torah prohibits. Chametz the Torah prohibits. The Torah needs to prohibit both. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Beitza, where the Gemara over there goes on to explain why I need both. Anyway, so that's now, that represents now two drashas. And the third drasha, of course, is the Shachat HaRav Aval Torah Shel Acherim. So in other words, according to the Chachamim, every one of the three drashas is accounted for, and therefore they don't have the drasha of Rav Yosi Aglili, the chametz is mutter behana. Adkan. Lema kitanai. Now what the Gemara is going to suggest now is that we have now seen and been discussing amachlokes between Rabbi Abbahu and Chizkia in terms of what does the Torah mean when the Torah says that something is usur be'achila. And from this point going forward now, what the Gemara is going to try to suggest is that not only is this a machlokas between Rabbi Abbahu and Chizkiyahu, meaning Amarayim, but it also represents a machlokas Tanaim as well. The Pasuk says, Ketanai yaseh lache lechol malacha. This Pasuk is describing the chalev of a karban. The Torah says that when you have the chalev of a karban, so it's yaseh lechol malacha, you could do with it whatever you want. So, specifically, by the way, I'm sorry, it's not the chalev of a carbon. The chalev of a carbon obviously goes up onto the mizbeach. It's the chalev of an animal that didn't make it as a carbon. In other words, it was either a nevela or it was a trefa. And to that, the Torah says that with such chalev, you could do with it whatever you want. The chalev is mutter behana'a. I might have thought the havamin would be that it's mutter behana, but only vis-a-vis karbanos. As Rashi explains, meaning that if I'm in the Beis HaMikdash, and for whatever reason I need the chalev in the Beis HaMikdash, so I could use it in the Beis HaMikdash. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, the havamin would be yachal, I might have thought, that I can't use the chela for my own personal use. Tamalam lechom alacha. Divrei Rav Yosi Aglili. Rav Yosi Aglili says lechom alacha. Lechom alacha tells me that I could use it for whatever usage I want, even lehedjot, even outside the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Kiva Omer Shechom alacha hedjot yeitar lemelachas gavoy yeitame. Rabbi Kiva had a different havamina. The havamina would be that vis-a-vis a hedjot nevela is tahor, but vis-a-vis the Beis Hamikdash, so chalev is tameh. So tamalam lechom alacha. So that's where the pasuk comes to tamalam lechom alacha, that it is tahor both outside the Beis Hamikdash and inside the Beis Hamikdash. So there doesn't seem to be a major disagreement between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. There is a havamina regarding nevela, and the pasuk of Yasel Chomalacha tells us that no, even though they had a havamina by nevela, it's not accepted, and rather nevela can be used. Sorry, chalev can be used for essentially whatever purpose you want to use it for. But there is a basic disagreement between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili in terms of what exactly was the havamina. And the Gemara notes that maybe the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili in terms of what the havamina was reflects perhaps the larger debate that we've been having in terms of what exactly is included in the Yisra Achila. So, for example, the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Lula Tumla Tahar Lo Itzir Kra, Ki Itzir Kra Lissav Laheter. So Gemara just first summarizes that according to Rav Yosef Aglili, Tumla Tahar never was an issue. The only issue was Lissav Laheter. And Rabbi Kiva, Lissav Laheter Lo Tzir Kra, Ki Itzir Kra, Tumla Tahar. And for Rabbi Kiva, it was just the opposite, that Lissav Laheter was never even up for discussion. It was Tumat Tahara that we needed the Pasuk. And now, my love, so on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Beis, now the Gemara is going to suggest this perhaps is the Pshat in the Machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosi. That according to Rabbi Yosi, Aglili, the Lo Sochlu that's mentioned regarding Nevela is including both Yisra Achila and Yisra Hana. Meaning, Rabbi Yosi Aglili agrees with Rabbi Abbahu. or if you want to say it more historically accurately, Rabbi Abahu agrees with Rabbi Yosef Glili that Lo Sochlu comes to include both Isra Achila and Isra Hana. V'chiyasa kvar l'mishra l'nevela ba'ana hudasa. And now that I have a pasuk regarding nevela, and I know that I'm not allowed to eat it, so I need a pasuk to go out of its way to tell me that it's mutter. I need it because without it, I would have thought the default would have been that it's asr ba'ana. And that's why I need a special pasuk to tell me that's mutter b'ana. Rabbi Akiva savri yisur achila mashma yisur ana la mashma. And Rabbi Akiva says no, that the default is always going to be just an yisur achila, but not an yisur ana. In other words, Rabbi Akiva sides with Chizkia. And so therefore, v'chiyasa k'ra l'tumatara. I never therefore would have entertained the idea that chalev is asr b'ana. Because that's not even up for discussion. That's not even on the table. So therefore, the Havim in the Maskana has nothing to do with Isra v'Heter, but it rather has to do with Tumah Tahara. This is the Gemara's suggestion in terms of what exactly is the Nekudah Machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. And perhaps as the Gemara, really what they're arguing about is the Machlokis of Rabbi Abahu and Chizkia. The Gemara sidesteps. Lo, the Gemara says not necessarily. The truth be told is that they both agree that Lo Sochlu incorporates both Isra Achila and Isra Ana. In other words, like Rabbi Abahu, that according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, look, the Torah is Matir Nevela. As we discussed in yesterday's daf, when the Torah says Nevela is Asr B'Achila, but we know that's Mutar B'Ana. How do we know that? Very simple, because the Torah says so. The Torah says that Nevela is, you're allowed to give it to a goy. You're allowed to sell it to a goy. You're allowed to give it to a ger. You're allowed to sell it to a ger. So, but that's only regarding the meat of the Nevela. Kishahutra Nevela hi hutra. Chelba v'gida lo hutra. But maybe that's only a heter on the meat of the Nevela, but not necessarily a heter for the fats of the nevela, nor for the gidanasha of the nevela. And that's why I need the pasuk to go out of its way to tell me that not only is the meat of the animal mutter, but the chilav of the animal is mutter as well. By the way, the Gemara is going to ask in just a moment, it only begs the question. That means, according to Rav Yosi Aglili, I have a special heter for the meat of the nevela, I have a special heter for the chilav of the nevela. Doesn't sound like I have any heter for the gid of the nevela. So could it be that according to Rav Yosi Aglili, the gid is asr b'ana? So the Gemara is going to ask that question in just a moment. Rabbi Akiva savar kishuhutra nevela chaba v'gida nami hutra. Now Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says, no, once the Torah gives a heter for the nevela, so that includes not only a heter for the nevela, but for the chelev and the gid as well. V'chi itzterech kra l'tuma v'tahara. And the pasuk that is necessary is for the purposes of Tumah Tahara. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Ashkechan Chelav Dishar Rechmana Ba'ana Elagin Neima Da'asr. Now the Gemara asks the question, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, again, Rabbi Yosi Aglili says that when the Torah says Lo Sochlu, it means both Isra Achila and Isra Na. And by Nevela, the Torah has to go out of its way to tell me that's Mutar Ba'ana. We have a special pasuk regarding the meat, we have a special pasuk regarding the Chelav, but we don't have a pasuk regarding the Gid. Does that mean, asks the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the Gid Hanasha is Asr Ba'ana? So Ibai say Machanamis, the Asr. So the first response of the Gemara is, yeah, maybe, that could absolutely be right. And Ibai say Ma'amaisa Bekavachomer, or maybe the Gemara says, no, maybe it really is Motor, and it's going to be built on a Kavachomer. Chelev Shanashkare is Motor Ba'ana. Look, let's start with Chelev. Chelev we know is not only Asr Ba'achila, but if one would eat Chelev, the punishment would be Kares. So it's a very severe Isr Achila. And meanwhile, when it comes to the Nevela, the Torah says it's Mutar B'Ana. So, Gid She'eino Neshkar Lo Kol Shekein. Now, the Gid Anasha, if one were to eat the Gid Anasha, it's an Isra Achila, but it's not an Isra Kares, it's a Lav, a lesser degree. So, if Nevela becomes Mutar B'Ana, and that's Chamor, so Gid Anasha, which is more Kal, for sure should become Mutar B'Ana. This is the Kavachoma the Gemara provides. And so maybe Rabbi Yosi Aglili would agree that the Gid is also Mutar B'Ana. Rabbi Shimon, the Asr Yikal Mefrach. Now Rabbi Shimon, whose shita we saw in yesterday's daf, says that Gid Anasha is Asr B'Ana. So now, basically what we're going to suggest is that according to Rabbi Shimon, he fundamentally agrees with Rav Yosi Aglili that when the Torah says not to eat the Gedanasha, it means both Achila and Hana. He agrees with Rav Yosi Aglili, and he agrees with Rabbi Abahu. And as far as the Kav HaChomer that we just generated, so it could very well be that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the Kav HaChomer. And why wouldn't he hold the Kav HaChomer? Malachel ikal mefrach, because we can ask a question. Malachel v'shekein shekein huter mechalo etzochaya. Because we know that chalav isn't always oster. Meaning that when it comes to the chalav of, let's say, chaya, non-domesticated animals, chalav chaya is mutter. So you see that chalav is huter mechalo. There are occasions when chalav is, you're allowed to eat chalav. So it speaks to the idea that chalav is not as chamor, considering the fact that we're allowed to eat it at times. So therefore, the kav hachomer that we make from chalav to get anasha does not seem to be such a strong kav hachomer. So Tomer begins Shalahut Mechalo, as opposed to the Gidanasha, where there's never a Heter to Gidanasha. Gidanasha is always going to be Osir, so therefore that's a Pircha on the Kavachomer. Shalahut Mechalo Itzochaya. V'idach. Now, Rav Yosi Aglili, who the Gemara tried to build a Kavachomer, why doesn't he accept the Pircha? Bebehema Karminan, Bebehema Mia Lo Ishtare. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. In other words, chalav is mutter by a chaya. But we're not talking about a chaya right now. We're talking about behema. In the context of behema, chalav is always going to be aser. Yes, it's true, the chalav of a chaya is mutter, but our discussion, meaning we're right now talking about the psukim regarding the nevela of a behema, and in the context of behema, chalav is always going to be aser. So because now, we, let's say over a kal v'chomer, the chalav, which is an iser achila and an iser kares, and meanwhile the Torah says, and that's mutar b'ana, giranasha, which is an iser achila, but not an iser kares, also for sure should be mutar b'ana. Adkan. Okay, so that basically takes us now to going through all the Isuri Echila in the Torah. So again, Rabbi Abahu and Chizkia, in terms of what the settings of the Torah is, when the Torah gives us an Isra Echila, according to Rabbi Abahu, it is Isra Echila and Isra Hana. According to Chizkia, it's only an Isra Echila, not an Isra Hana. And then the Gemara, over the last couple of Dapim, starting on Chaf Aleph, continues with Chaf Beis, and continuing now to Chaf Gimel, takes us through a tour of all the Isuri Echila in the Torah, establishing whether or not they're Asar B'Achila and Asar B'Ana, or just Asar Achila but not Asar B'Ana. How's Rabbi Abel going to address it? How's Chizkin going to address it? And so far to date, it sounds like there's no practical difference between Rabbi Abel and Chizkin. They're having a fundamental debate, a conceptual debate. But Lamaisa, but practically speaking, there doesn't seem to be any Nafkamina. And we're going to stop over here. We're going to pause over here. And tomorrow when we pick it up, we're going to discuss exactly what would be the nafkamina between Rabbi Abahu and Chizkia, and what way does this translate into an actual machlokus lamaisa on any of the Isurei Achila. We will pause over here.